I mean, it's a bit troubled tonight, but I guess we're going on with the show. And thank you for playing, Rom. I guess you have Italian origins by the surname.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Where from?
Calabria.
Calabria. Okay, so welcome back home, mostly home.
My family. Yeah. Not me. I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay, about your last album, The Wild Sounds of the Lords of Altamont, upon its release, you've been talking about same old tricks with new approach. I can tell you how I've interpreted this statement, but after listening to the record, but what were you meaning with it?
Well, I mean, hopefully there's consistency in the band, so not every time you have an album, it's a different band. So I always say, well, there's kind of a joke between anything I play has my stink. Maybe some people say it's a sound, but I try to make it different. It always comes back the same, you know?
Yeah, of course, but
same
I mean, but the different pitch to the record. I mean, to me, it sounded like a little bit. I wouldn't say. I mean, the same old fuzz, let's say, but a little bit cleaner in the production. Did you put an effort in it? I know that you've been working with Paul Rössler
Yes. Paul Rössler is a little more high fidelity for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the past, we always try to do our best, but it always has the sound no matter what, no matter what we try. This was the first recording that was digital. You know, some people don't like this, but it's the truth with today.
Yeah, that was my impression. A lot of compression, too. Like,
The problem with, because you need a lot of compression when there's a lot of instruments. And I remember Paul was very frustrated while recording, going like, oh my God, what do I do with all these instruments? There's a sound and it's like compressed. Yeah, not my favorite compression, but.
I see. Well, not regarding this last record you made, but I mean, about the previous ones. Some have, I don't know, labeled you as a, I wouldn't say revival band, but like getting a lot from the past. Are you disturbed by it, or?
No. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of, you know, garage punk and psych and blues, rock and roll. So that's.
So you don't mind being sided with being compared to the.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, if we were somebody like, I don't know, fucking Queens of the Stone Age or something, I mean, then it'd be like, whoa, really? Where is that coming from? But, I mean, you can expect it from us. I mean, our influences are these people, these bands, you know? So, yeah, of course. I'm okay with it.
Okay. One question is, I know that that's three... fourth of the band lives in Europe and you are in the USA. How does it work? I mean, like, how do you compose? How do you record?
Oh, okay. So the last record, many of the songs I wrote with either myself, I send it to them via, you know, email or whatever format. They listen, they send it back to me, I listen, send it back. And then I come for a tour, we play it together, we go back. They go back to Europe, I go home. And then if I have an idea and I need more musicians, I use the old guys that used to be in the band.
Like, I see, so you're in good relationship, like it's still a cooperation that is ongoing with them.
With the band, the guys that started the band with me, yeah. For sure, Johnny Davila, which used to be in the band, and John Saletra. So, yeah, depending on the song, for sure.
I see. A question about the past. I've heard some really fucked up stories about the time you've been touring with the Cramps, and you've been touring with them, like, as a roadie. And I've read some of it, like you fighting on the stage or.
Yeah. Well, Chicago. I was trying to keep people off of the stage because there was no security. And they pulled me by my arms headfirst into the audience with 2,000 people in the stage higher than my head. And next thing you know, I'm fighting with the whole audience.
The Cramps. It's rock and roll.
Oh, it's fucking great. The Cramps stopped the show. Lux and Chopper and Harry Drumdini are pulling me by my arms back onto the stage. Security is pulling me back down to the floor because they don't know who the fuck I am. And my shirt is off. And I just look like every asshole in the audience. Excuse me, every fan.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, I look like some punk rocker or whatever, hippie or I don't know. So then I get up, and I'm on the side, sitting next to my box where the other guitars are, where I tune. And I look up, and a mic stand is flying towards me, hits Poison Ivy in the head, spins and sticks down the side of my face and down my shoulder. And then I look down, my blood is all the way to my stomach. And part of my face is hanging like maybe
centimeters
off.
This is
like a turkey.
It is more like gore than rock and roll. But other than that, I know that you've been taken as a roadie for the Cramps because they have heard how you tune the guitar or something. Like, they were impressed about your ability in tuning something. But other than that, what do you remember about that period? Was it important for you as a musician? Or, I mean, did you learn something touring with them?
Well, foremost, they were my friends. And that's mainly why. They trusted me as a friend and a musician that knows what it feels like when you're on stage and have no support, you know? So they're like, oh yeah, he knows what it feels like to be caught with your pants down, you know?
And some kind of empathy.
Yeah. So they felt safe with me, and I really loved and respect the band, so it was important to me, you know?
Okay, last question. I don't know if it's... I don't think it's uncomfortable for you, but let's try. Like, what about the name? I mean, some people relate Altamont to a very serious shit, like a very dramatic shit. I know it's related to proto-punk, to the birth of something opposite to the flower power culture, but what are you trying to evoke with the choice, even the aesthetic choice of your band? You know, the bikers culture, is it something just aesthetic? Are you trying to... You know, there are values under it or something.
Well, I really don't try to make people learn a lesson in life with rock and roll. I want you to come to rock and roll concert, show, and enjoy yourself and forget about life. Like, rock and roll, fucking drugs, party, whatever. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you stop thinking about the fucking government or your problems at home. That's what I think about. But the name Altamont was important to us. Because we had another band and we changed, there was a metamorphosis from surf music to garage punk or whatever we play now, whatever you call it. And that day was the change for everything, metaphorically and physically. You know,
a lot of shit happened, yeah. Like not only deaths and the birth, but like...
So it's the documented, undocumented marker for this time, which is important to us. So then the look... was Wild Angels all the way, because I collect and love all B movies.
So there is an aesthetic fascination to the biker's culture and like aesthetic, only aesthetically fascination. Like you like their aesthetics.
Peter Fonda and Nancy Sinatra. Yeah, absolutely.
Or even Russ Meyer and Pussycat Kill.
Of course. Yeah, all of that. All of the, just the Mondo movies, you know? And then of course we, three out of five of us always rode together. So we were in a club together and all this, but mainly just to bring people together, you know. It's not like a...
I appreciate very much your attitude towards rock and roll, not trying to teach any lesson. That was something like, for example, I know Lester Banks said, I cannot stand Lester Banks, you know, the critic. I cannot stand the rock stars trying to teach you how to live. No, just like live your fucking life. And that's it. Okay. Thank you very much. So I will leave you to to beer and the show.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Can you say something like for Search and Destroy Radio? It's our radio. Search and Destroy Radio looks like hello. Nice.
Hello, Search and Destroy. Life is short, filled with stuff.
Great. Thank you very much.